everybody cause they're back again. Don't take no mess at the Rose Garden. Blazers, they're on fire. They're what we desire. The men in black can handle it. Other teams can scrabble it.
How they win that game today.
There's just one thing you can say.
How does Scotty shoot that three?
Believe me, it ain't easy.
How did Brian jump so sweet?
Believe me, it ain't easy.
It's the flying dive that's in your lap. As Damon takes it to the rack. How the world did they do that?
Believe me, it ain't easy.
Drive your hoodie to the game. See the
Welcome back to the Rose Garden Report podcast. I am Sean Hyken, the author of the Rose Garden Report newsletter, which you can subscribe to at rosegardenreport.com. Free and paid subscriptions available. The podcast, as always, you can get on Apple, Spotify, everywhere else that you get podcasts. Make sure you subscribe, rate, review. All of that stuff helps, just like it helps with every podcast. I know they all say that, but that stuff really does help. So those of you who've been doing that and have been helping get the word out, greatly appreciate that. Bringing Eric back on this week, you know, because it's, first of all, it's been a few weeks since I've had Eric on. I think the last time we did one was right after Shaedon Sharpe had his breakout game against the Rockets, and there's been a lot of stuff that's happened since then, and Eric has also started covering games this past month as a fill-in for Annie Peterson at the Associated Press, who is in Qatar covering the World Cup, so I figured it would be a good idea to get his perspective on the team now that he's kind of been around it more in the last couple of weeks. Now, one more note before we get into that. I'm going to get into that pretty quickly because, you know, it's a holiday weekend. People don't really want to listen to like a big long preamble of all this, but just one more note on the subject of Annie being in Qatar covering the World Cup. This weekend, I am going to be around the Moda Center, around the Child Center, covering the PK tournament, the Phil Knight Legacy tournament, which is the big college tournament that's happening here in Portland. I'm going to be filling in for Annie with the AP covering some college games, which I'm pretty excited about because, you know, it's going to be a good opportunity for me to cover that event, which a lot of NBA folks go to. I know the Blazers are going to have a lot of their front office folks, like a lot of that contingent is going to be there scouting because it's in a major college tournament that a lot of the major college programs are going to be playing at. So a lot of their, you know, NBA teams are going to be sending their scouts and front office executives there. So I'm looking forward to getting some FaceTime with some of those folks, and maybe I'll have some stuff to tell you coming off of that, or some story ideas, some story opportunities there coming off of that. Just also as it relates to the site and the podcast and stuff, it's unlikely that I'll be able to actually watch the game on Friday against the Nets and the game on Sunday against the Knicks live. I do plan, of course, on DVRing them and watching them later or watching them on a replay or something like that. And then if I have, you know, thoughts on those games, I will write on them. Something I said at the beginning of the season was that as far as road games that I'm not at, if I don't have something to say about a game, I'm not going to write something just to write something. I'm not going to force it. So I wouldn't guarantee that I write something after every game, but I think it's likely if there is something to say. There's only two games so far that I haven't written off of. One of them was the Phoenix blowout on the second half of that back-to-back because there just wasn't really anything to say about that game. And then also the game last night against the Bucks, which, you know, they lost to what most people would say is the best team in the league without Dame on the road. You know, cool. I don't really have much to add there. But, you know, I do plan on writing off of the Cleveland game tomorrow, and then I'll do something probably at the end of this road trip, wrapping that up before they come back home to play the Clippers next week before another little road trip. So that's kind of what we have coming up here on Rose Garden Report. You know, it's a busy time of year for everybody with the holiday weekend, and December is going to also be a busy month. And then January, there's a ton of home games. So there's going to be a ton of stuff coming up. So if it's a little bit lighter this weekend on the holiday weekend because I have other commitments, I hope you guys are a little bit understanding of that. But other than that, let's just get into this conversation that Eric and I had, you know, right before the holiday weekend. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody, whatever you're doing to celebrate or whatever the case may be. I hope it's a good one for you. Let's get into it. So, Eric, it's been a minute since you and I have done one of these together. I think it's been probably 2 or 3 weeks at least. I think the last time you and I did one of these was before the 6-game road trip. And in the time that you and I haven't been doing these together, you've started actually returning to doing in-person sports journalism, covering these games.
Right. I've actually been in the arena, in the locker room, asking questions. It was a good time to come back and do that, but also like it would for the Blazers, maybe not the best time for me to do that, because they finally hit, like, they went 1-2, but I do feel like those were their worst, maybe their worst 3 games of the season so far.
Yeah. Even the San Antonio one that they won, they did not play particularly well in that game. I thought they played better in the Brooklyn game than they did in the San Antonio game.
Yeah, I think when we were after the game, I think all the guys, like all the players and coaches, said the same thing, was that they felt like they probably didn't deserve to win the San Antonio game, but that they did deserve to win the Brooklyn game, and the results went the opposite direction. And then you lump in the Utah game, which was just Utah's a good team, and you've got to play well. And on top of that, losing Dame in the middle of that game really was a huge bummer. But also, just, you know, Dame is the one who said it after the game, like, this is part of it. This is part of the marathon, and the Blazers are hitting adversity for the first time.
Yeah, and I think people got a little bit ahead of themselves. And this is why I was always, even when they got off to the start that they got off to, and they went 4-2 on the road trip, and, you know, they came back from that road trip 9-4. I wasn't sitting here either, you know, in the stuff I was writing on the website or on the podcast, saying that, like, now I think they're contenders because they've gotten off to this start, because I never thought, I mean, now you see, like, around the league, some of these other teams that look just completely dead in the water to start the season. Everybody was so bought in on the Sacramento thing early on in the season, or like in the preseason, that they were going to be the, you know, fringe playoff team in the West that was going to take a step forward. They looked terrible in the first week of the season. And now, like, I'm seeing all the national podcasts, all the national websites, the Kings are the new darlings. They're the new it team. Like, the Blazers were the first 2 weeks of the season. So it's all kind of cyclical.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of the teams that I think, you know, maybe had some bad starts, like Philly, like the Lakers, like those teams have had, you know, upward trends recently. And it has muddied the waters. A team like New Orleans, I think, is a little bit like Portland, where they were so, so good to start the season, and everyone was ready to say, hey, like, these guys are it, and they've had some trouble recently. And it just goes to show you how hard it is to maintain a high level of play even through 6 weeks of a season, let alone 82 games.
Yeah, and that's why I said at the beginning of the year, just looking at the schedule, that if they could get to 500 by Christmas, they're fine. Because the schedule that they have after basically January is so much like Oklahoma City and Houston and San Antonio, like so many of these teams that, like, people are not expecting to be good. And some of those, even the teams like Indiana, who's playing well right now, like, they're going to trade Miles Turner at some point, maybe even to Portland. But, like, there's like so many of these teams that everybody is like look good right now. Like, a lot of these teams, like, I think they play Charlotte again, like, around Christmas. Like, this is still, like, this is the tough part of the schedule. And the game that they had last night, we're recording this on a Tuesday evening. I looked at the game. I watched the game that they had against the Bucks last night in Milwaukee. And I just thought, okay, they lost on the road to one of the two best. I think you and I both agree the two best teams in the league right now are Milwaukee and Boston, in whatever order you want to put them in. Like, it's clearly those two teams, right?
Yeah.
So they lost to one of the two best teams in the league, the team that probably has the best player in the league, in Giannis, without Dame, and they didn't get embarrassed. They didn't get blown out. They hung with them, and, you know, they just
my gamblers will say they covered the spread. I mean, they did.
Yeah.
So
thanks in part to Trent and Watford bombing threes in garbage time, partially, but they didn't get embarrassed on the road against the best, arguably the best team in the league in a game without their best player. You know, cool. Like I did not have any kind of alarm bells going off in that game. That was a game going in that I expected them to lose, and it was a game that they lost. And you know, they didn't look terrible. They just. Milwaukee was better. That's going to happen. I think it was funny. I was talking to somebody I know who is a national writer at a much bigger outlet than either of us write for yesterday, just about this. And we both think that the only two actually good teams in the league right now are Milwaukee and Boston.
I mean, yeah, you look at the rest of the league and I mean, to your point at the top of the podcast, every national podcast is talking about the Sacramento Kings. Like, that is where the greater league is at. So it's not a warning sign or an alarm bell to have lost some games over the past week. I mean, they lost back-to-back games at home. Then they lost this one against Milwaukee. But they're still in great shape. And I believe in the rest of this team so much more than most of the other Blazers teams that did not have Dame, that I would support. This is columnist Eric coming into the fold here, but
this is Blazer banter, Eric.
I would support an extended absence for Dame. Whether we could play the semantics about what like the injury got worse, and I think the Blazers are in good enough shape as a collective that Dame can take the appropriate time needed to make sure that he is right. And I think that is where I come down over the last week. And I know that Dame hates it.
He does, yeah.
But he's got to do it. Like this is his, just like he said, the past stretch that we just had for the Blazers was part of the journey. Like, he's never been hurt before. He's never had to deal with this on this level. He's got to respect what he's dealing with. And I think that is my takeaway from the past week, is that I think it's right. It's the right thing to do to have Dame take at least 2 weeks off, if not 4 weeks, and or at least until the new year. He's got to get right, man. Like, or else you could have something bad happen that is going to take even longer to get back from.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how they play this. I do think that, generally speaking, and I haven't talked to anybody in the organization specifically about what's going on with Dame. I only know what's out there as far as the update that they put out when it comes to, you know, he re-aggravated the same calf. It was a different part of the calf that he had the injury with this time. And we know what he said after the game was that he doesn't think this one was as bad as the last one. And the team said he'll be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks, which means he's going to basically miss this road trip and then TBD after that. But just based on what I've seen and what I've observed and what I have heard, because I have talked to people in the organization about how they've handled other injuries, and particularly the Gary Payton II situation, which he hasn't played yet still. And remember, they announced that he had the surgery, which he had in July, but they announced like a week before training camp, that he would miss training camp, but then he'd be good to go for the start of the regular season. And then he wasn't. And then they said he'd be reevaluated in 2 weeks. And then they said he'd be reevaluated in 2 weeks again. And then they said he'd be reevaluated in 2 weeks again. Based on what I've heard, he hasn't had any setbacks with the injury. But I was talking to somebody in the organization before the last game, the Utah game. And I got the sense that if the Blazers were 8-8 or 7-9 at this point in the season, there might be a little bit more of an urgency to be like, hey, we got to get Gary Payton back, or hey, maybe we got to, you know, have Dame play through some of this stuff. But because they went into this road trip 10-6, and because they've also won games already without, not just without Dame, because they won a couple games on the road trip without Dame, they've won without Simons. Jeremy Grant missed a game. Nurkic missed a couple of games. Justice Winslow has missed a couple of games. Pretty much all the, like, I think Josh Hart is their only guy that hasn't, like, their only out of their main guys. Josh Hart is the only one of their main guys that hasn't missed at least one game so far this season.
No, yeah, and he was in the concussion protocol, and it just, like, it was like a stroke of luck that.
Yeah, but, like, so most of their main guys have missed at least one game. And so they feel like, okay, if Dame has to miss 2 weeks instead of 1 week in order to get this thing right, we're not screwed. We still feel like, you know, and we now have the track record of, we feel like we can hang with anybody. We feel like we can beat, because, I mean, yeah, they did end up getting outclassed by the Bucks last night, but they were leading after the first quarter and they were only down two at the half. And even after they went down big in the third quarter, they clawed back in there and they still kind of made it a game, and they only ended up losing by eight. That was a game, again, you would think, you know, beginning of a long road trip against a team that most people think is the best team in the league, the team that has the best player in the league. That's a game at the beginning of a road trip that maybe after that third quarter, you would be totally understanding if Chauncey had decided to just say, you know what, screw this game. We're at the beginning of a long road trip. Let's just pull the plug. But they didn't, and they clawed back in. And I think they feel like they can hang with anybody, even if Dame is out.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the wins that they've gotten. We've talked about Milwaukee. We've talked about Boston. Phoenix has been maybe, you know, right there underneath those two teams as probably the best.
They've been the best in the West so far.
They've been the best in the West so far. Like Utah been great, but like Phoenix still, like, they've been super good. And yeah, Portland beat them. Like, they were able to win on the road in New Orleans. They won on the road at Miami, which I understand is not that great of a win. And they were in the game for the most part against the Mavericks. The way that they play, they have a style of play where everyone defends everyone, and the offensive pecking order is, like, very, very clear. Like, when Dame isn't in the game and he's out, it's Simons and Nurk and Jeremy Grant, and they're going to generate the shots for the rest of the team. And it seems like everyone on the team is, like, pretty cool with that setup. Like, it works out for everyone. It lets Justice Winslow fit where he needs to fit in as, like, a connecting piece between the more, you know, important and more used offensive avenues. And I just think that the way that the team is structured and the way that they've played, they are in a better position to have Dame sit out games. And even when it hasn't worked out, like, they've still been in the ballpark. And I think that, I think, is what really gives me the impetus to say, hey, like, what does Dame really need here? Let's just do that and work our way through the season. Because you look around at the rest of the league, like, it's nobody else is, like, has, like, a situation where, like, yeah, you sit your best player and, like, we're Gucci. Obviously Portland is not, like, winning every game that Dame doesn't play in, but, like, they have an identity without him, which is more than 2/3 of the league can say without their best player.
And I think there's two other things that I think come into play here. And the two other things that kind of would make me feel pretty encouraged about where they are right now, even despite this, you know, this past skid they've had in the last week or so. One is that they're still beating the teams that they should beat. If you look at every bad team that they've played, they haven't played that many bad teams so far, but they beat the Lakers when they played them. They beat Houston. They beat San Antonio. They beat Charlotte. You can say, okay, that San Antonio game was ugly. They did manage to pull that one out and they won it. They don't really have any of those on this upcoming road trip because, like, the Cavs are good. The Nets are now, you know, looking a lot better than they looked at the beginning of the season. And, you know, the Knicks are not great, but the Knicks are also not, you know, terrible. They're not the worst team in the league.
No, they're not. You can't just expect to win a game against the Knicks just by showing up.
Right. But so they haven't lost to any bad teams so far. And the other thing is, there's only one game this entire season that they just straight up have not been in. And that was the second Phoenix game in Phoenix, on the second night of the back-to-back when they didn't have Damon Simons and they had just won the last. Like, you knew that one was going to be a blowout, and it was. But other than that, even the game, you look at the games they've lost, they were in the first Miami game, they were in the Memphis game, they were in the Utah game, they were in the Brooklyn game, they were in the Dallas game. The only game that they haven't been, they just straight up were not in, was that one Phoenix game that was going to be a schedule loss no matter what. Like, there has not been a game where they get down 20 and they just like, okay, we're just going to give up. I think a lot of the games last season were.
No, and they haven't had those games. And to your point, even when they haven't had their full complement of guys, they've still been in most of the games that they've played. And so it's obviously going to be harder when the other team knows that you don't have Dame. But I still think it's something that I'd be willing to do just because I like the way this team plays. I like the way that they are built around their shot creators. And I like the way that they generally play good defense. And that keeps you in a lot of games that maybe you shouldn't be in. And so it's going to suck because you're going to see them fall back in the standings from being in first place more than likely. But I don't think the West or the whole league in general, like, is that good that they can have Dame, that they would have Dame miss time and all of a sudden find themselves like completely out of the range to be in the top six and be a, you know, not have to be in the play-in. Like, I think taking that time now would be really beneficial in those, you know, dog days of the season in January, February, March, where your standings really get decided.
I think, you know, when we're talking about the team coming back down to earth a little bit, I think the guy we also kind of have to talk about is Shaedon Sharpe coming back down to earth a little bit, because he looked awesome in the Brooklyn game. And then the last two have been kind of rough for him. Like, he started to now, maybe it's just that the scouting report is out on him now a little bit, and he was such a surprise at the beginning of the season, but teams are able to take him out of the game, I think, more so than they were. And this is maybe just two games in a row that he's had that are bad, and, you know, he shouldn't overreact to it, but it does feel like he's coming, you know, that's starting to, it's not an every night thing he goes out there and he looks great anymore. Like, there's starting to be a few of those off games, you know, sprinkled in there that you would kind of expect from a rookie, but you're starting to actually see that now.
Yeah, no, like, he's definitely having some moments on defense where he doesn't remember the scheme or doesn't remember exactly how to, you know, his reactions just are not baked in like they would be for even someone who's played a year in the NBA. And that has a chain reaction. I think Chauncey talked about it actually, and before one of the games, like, the chain reaction that happens when, if you miss your assignment, then the player next to you has a role to help cancel that missed assignment. But then if you get back in the play, like, if Shaedon misses out on his read but somehow gets back into the play because he's so athletic, that doesn't really help fix the problem of having someone cover for his mistake and then there being another open person, because the person that was covering up for Shaedon's initial mistake had to come over anyway, and the person that is open is still open. And I think there's that. And then there's also, too, just the offensive aspect. Like, he's still learning where he's going to get shots. And the pull-up three and the lob are great, but it also, it's just hard when everyone knows that you're that guy that can knock down everything that gets every open look that he gets. Like, then to your point, they're going to scout you and they're going to realize what is getting you your buckets and taking it away. And so the next step, I think, is like, what can we see with him creating his own shot off of those closeout moments when guys know that he wants to take that three when they're closing out on him?
I thought John Hollinger had an interesting point in this piece that he had at The Athletic that was sort of a Shaedon Sharpe scouting report. It was like his like weekly look around type of deal that he did, and he spotlighted Shaedon as like the rookie of the week that he was interested in. And he had a line, I don't have it in front of me, but he said something to the effect of that, so, you know, if there's one weakness with what Shaedon has been doing offensively so far, it's that he's been a play ender as opposed to a play, you know, starter. Like, he isn't really, he's still kind of got tunnel vision and is still kind of not really creating for others yet, and that he has the talent to do that, but that hasn't been something he's added to his game. I actually would go the other way. I actually think he's been too unselfish at times. There have been times when he's gotten the ball and he's had an open three, and I'm just sitting there, you know, whether it be at the game or on the couch watching one of these road games, being like, why is he not just shooting that? And instead he'll pass, you know, trying to make the right play, trying to make the extra pass, and he should just be letting it fly. And it does seem like the guys, you know, whether it be Dame or Chauncey or whoever, are like getting on him to be like, hey, just shoot that. If you have a shot, shoot it. And it seems like he's starting to pick that up a little bit more. But I almost kind of think he isn't shooting enough and isn't looking for his own shot enough.
I agree with you. I think that's what he should be doing. Like, he should be like, at this stage in his career, like, go be a supercharged Klay Thompson. Like shoot, 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 shoot. Like, every time you get it and you have a smidge of daylight, he's got to let it go. Because, I mean, he's not only been the best three-point shooter on the Blazers, he's been one of the top five three-point shooters in the league so far. Like, he's got to shoot that. And I think it goes against a lot of basketball training. Like, obviously everyone is taught to get theirs, but then, you know, you're trying to fit in, you're getting a role on a team. You know, everyone around you is saying, you know, don't mess this up. Especially when you're with Dame and Ant and these guys that are really accomplished, but they're all looking to him to be a guy that can answer those questions that defenses ask of the Blazers, where who can beat us other than the main guys. And, you know, Shaedon has got to be that guy that is, I agree with you, even more willing to take those shots.
Especially, you know, since Dame is going to be out for at least the next little bit, I feel like this is a big opportunity for him to come out and, you know, establish, if not like the second option on offense with Dame out, because I think it's going to be, like you said earlier, the hierarchy is still, I think, Ant Jeremy. But Shaedon could easily get his way in there, because, you know, you saw the night that he had against Brooklyn. He can be that guy. He can, you know, be their top scorer and, be the guy that, you know, comes in, just immediately starts hitting open threes. And, like, he can be that guy. Like, I think he does need to look for his own shot more and just be more, I don't want to say empowered, because I think that they are empowering him to take as many shots as he wants, but I almost think he hasn't taken advantage of that enough.
Yeah, and I think, you know, part of it is also, like, the whole mystery man thing, like him trying to put some good stuff on tape and prove to people that he's not just a curiosity and that he can be a winning player. And I think there's a lot that goes into maybe how he's reacting to the opportunity. And I do think that maybe Dame being out is maybe the nudge that he needs to kind of grab hold of that part of the offense that he's getting and really embrace it. And I think over however long Dame is out, that's going to be a bellwether for how they do over these next, you know, however long Dame is out.
What are we thinking about the Drew Eubanks experience so far? It seems like, he, you know, over the last week, that's been like, you know, between the San Antonio game and a couple of these other games, he's kind of become like, there was always kind of this thought that he would be a fan favorite, but it seems like that's over the last week has really just like taken hold in a huge way.
I mean, absolutely. His plus minus in the Utah game was phenomenal. He was great in the San Antonio game. He was even great in the Brooklyn game. I mean, he's been such a boost to this team. His energy is so important. And is something that, frankly, like when you look at the team and you looked at Nurk and the kind of center that he is, even at his best, having a guy that just comes in and runs around and just wreaks havoc on the game, it's such a different energy from the energy that you get with Nurk, who is calculated, you know, plotting, you tries to use angles really well. And really, he's just very measured sometimes in the way that he's attacking the game. And Eubanks grabs the game by the horns and just gets after it. And it's a great juxtaposition. And I think also too, like, frankly, he's just been a better player than I expected. Maybe that was because he was on a team that was tanking and terrible, but the fact that he's doing what he's doing on a team that is playing pretty well, I don't think I expected that.
Away from Blazers stuff for a second, I literally just saw this. Did you see this Ja Morant quote yet?
No.
Okay, this is fantastic. I literally just saw this, and I think we have to bring it up. And I think it's worth bringing up in opposition to some of the stuff that we've just been talking about with Dame. But Ja was supposed to be week to week with this ankle injury, and he's playing tonight against the Kings, mm-hmm. or tomorrow. Is that game tonight or tomorrow?
That's tomorrow. Kings-Grizzlies?
Yeah.
That's tonight. Happening,
so he's
right
playing
now.
Tonight. And this is a tweet from Drew Hill, who's one of the beat writers down there in Memphis. He says he asks Ja Morant if he heals like an alien. Ja's response, a cyborg. I'm just a unique dude, man. I don't think I'm human. I got to do some lab testing or something to see what's really behind it. The league is doing the same. I have a drug test right after this. That's so good. But also, like, I don't know, Ja. Like, I'm really worried. I hope this isn't like a Derek.
You think he
Rose
might be
situation.
Flying? He might be flying too close to the sun.
Well, just yeah, you know, with it, I just remember the beginning of Derek Rose's career when like the exact same thing would happen, and then you know he would just play through all this stuff, and then he had the ACL, and it was just like, I hope that's not the case with Ja. But while we've got it, it's so much fun.
Yes. This is the thing about the NBA is you got to just embrace what's happening now, because you just don't know. You just don't know when the other shoe's going to drop, and it's best to not worry about it because it's just going to happen at some point. But wow. Yeah. I mean, hey, get it. You do what you want while you popping, as Steve Nash quoting Drink once said. On Instagram.
So there was a tweet today from an NBA writer who has his own outlet, much like I do, about how hard the NBA is physically, and he made the point that every single headline on the Athletic's top NBA headlines list is about an injury. And I just went to the Athletic's NBA page just to check and see if that was still the case. And it actually turns out it is. I'm going to read this to you. These are the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. These are the top 8 headlines in the NBA right now, according to the Athletic. Number 1, Clippers Paul George out with hamstring strain. Number 2, Bucks assign Chris Middleton to Wisconsin Herd. So that's like an injury recovery situation there.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, Sixers' Joel Embiid with a foot sprain is out for versus the Nets and the Hornets. Number 4, Lillard to be sidelined with new calf strain, which we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Jazz's Conley with a knee injury out at least 2 weeks, sources. He actually had that injury during the Blazer game. Grizzlies' Morant week to week with left ankle sprain. Sixers' Maxey to miss 3 to 4 weeks with foot injury. Pistons' Cunningham mulling shin treatment options. So yeah, I mean, this is just the time of year. There's just a lot of this stuff going on.
I mean, it's the nature of the beast when you're playing mostly every other day from maybe you have 2 days in between games, but mostly you're going to play every other day for the most part for 4 months. Like, it's just part of it is that teams and players have realized how common this is. And so they rest their players more and they realize that these peaks and valleys happen. And I think, look, it's an issue, but it's also, it's an issue if you don't want, it's an issue in one respect, but it's also, if you're mad right now, you're going to be even more mad when Jimmy Butler or Draymond or Ben Simmons or someone else of that ilk doesn't play in a playoff game. And that really is the way that we should see these things, is that, like, yes, everything is about the games, and obviously the discourse throughout the regular season is about each game, but I don't know where we're going to get when it's going to happen, but there's got to be a certain point where we as fans realize that, like, it will happen.
Yeah, and honestly, this just makes me, if I were a Blazer fan, this would make me feel better about the way that they're handling Dame, and they're you know, taking the long view and wanting him to be available for the playoffs and wanting Gary Payton, who they just signed, you know, as a free agent and hasn't played yet because they are just being extra, extra cautious. And I mean, yeah, it feels like, okay, they're taking the long view. And I mean, in the short term, yeah, it's going to be frustrating when maybe Dame does. Let's say, I don't know this. I'm not reporting this. I don't know how long Dame is going to be out with this injury, but let's say Dame plays, you know, doesn't play again for 3 weeks. That's because they want him healthy for the playoffs.
Right. It's not because he is not showing up for the team or what have you. It's more of a, hey, what are we really trying to do here? Are we trying to get the best seed that we can, or are we trying to set up a good playoff run and be ready when everything matters the most? And I think, yeah, that's kind of also where I'm, you know, I think before the season, maybe I would not have believed that the Blazers would be 10-6 and in a position to make this call. But when you've won this many games, you've had the start that you've had, you kind of have a team identity, you should not rush your superstar back. And you should do what's best for his long-term health, because that is ultimately, if you're going to win anything, he's got to be a part of it. And so, to me, I'm all about being cautious and being conservative with Dame on this one. Like, and it's totally different, but it's something that I think is kind of it's part of the process. And just like the Blazers were in the beginning of the season and had this start, like, that also requires thinking ahead if you want to make good on that.
So I think that's probably a good place to leave it. You know, the Blazers have this, you know, the three more games left on this road trip over the rest of Thanksgiving weekend. You and I are both at various points going to be covering the PK tournament over at Moda. So we're probably not going to be around during the Knicks and Nets games, but I would imagine next week we'll probably do another pod once the stuff from the holiday weekend is kind of died down. But for now, we just kind of, you know, we wanted to get this out there to give, you know, give people something to listen to going into the holiday weekend, just kind of, you know, again, because you and I haven't done one of these in a while, so we just kind of wanted to get a little temperature check on where things were at. And you know, going into December, going into kind of the last part of the really tough part of the schedule coming up. So, Eric, thanks for doing this with me. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Enjoy, you know, everything you've got going on. We'll be back doing this again soon.
You too, Sean.